Hello, this is George McAllister from MCOL, and I'd like to welcome our listeners to today's podcast session. We're pleased to have Doug Sherlock, Senior Healthcare Analyst for Sherlock Company, joining us today. Doug is here to give us his quarterly insights into financial markets of health plans.
Well, thank you. In this podcast, we'll review the performance of the publicly traded managed care firms for the second quarter of 2016 and year-to-date. We'll discuss sector valuation and measures of operating trends and valuation. First, I want to speak to stock prices and valuation. Through August 22nd, health plan stock prices gained 6% on average year-to-date. The broader market, measured by the S&P 500, grew by 7% so far in 2016. Health plan sector market capitalization increased by 10% in 2016. Individual plan performance was generally positive, with 6 out of 10 plans posting increases since the beginning of the year. WellCare led the group with a 48% increase, while United Health and Aetna grew by 21% and 11% respectively. Centene followed with a gain of 7%. Universal American increased by 3% and Humana rose by 1%. Conversely, Cigna led the universe in equity price declines at 9%, followed by Anthem and Molina, each dropping by 7%. Triple S decreased by 4%. Valuation metrics were mixed as the price to trailing 12-month earnings increased by 15% to 22 times, while the price to operating earnings increased by 1% to 10 times. Price to sales fell by 6% to 0.5 times. Price to total member slipped by 3% to $1,600 per member, and price per risk member rose by 1% to $2,500. All rates of change hold the universe constant. So, some valuation metrics for Universal American, Triple S, and Molina were excluded from both periods as outliers or negative indications. As mentioned in the previous podcast, we've also excluded HealthNet's valuation indicators in the comparable period last year, since it was acquired by Centene on March 24th. Since the last podcast in May, health plan stock prices are up by an average of 7%, while the S&P 500 grew by 6%. Valuation indicators, holding constant the mix of plans, trended higher. Now on to our review of the operating trends. For the second quarter, combined ASO and risk members increased by an average of 20% and in total by 8% year over year. Average increases calculated based on each individual plan's growth rate, while the total increases for the combined membership for all plans. Fully insured membership grew by an average of 14% and by 10% in total to 76 million members. Medicaid plans picked up significant membership growth due to Centene's purchase of HealthNet. Medicaid plans experienced an average increase of 43% and a total increase of 50% to 16 million risk members. Commercial plans grew by 1% on average and 3% in total to 60 million members. The proportion of self-funded ASO members to total members fell by 1 percentage point to 49%. The drop in the proportion of self-funded members was due to ASO growth being outpaced by the increase in fully insured membership. The rate of change for self-funded membership was unchanged on average, but up by 6% in total to 73 million members. Revenues for the second quarter increased by an average and in total by 18% to $125 billion. Medicaid plan revenues rose significantly by an average of 41% and in total by 50% to $19 billion. This was primarily driven by the sharp revenue growth in Centene due to its acquisition of HealthNet. Meanwhile, revenues in commercial plans gained an average of 8% and in total by 14% to $106 billion. UnitedHealth reported a revenue increase of 28% on, quote, broad-based, close quote, growth in all of its businesses. Premium rates for all plans grew by an average of 3%. Medicaid premium rates were flat on average. Commercial plans posted an increase of 5% on average. Note that the premium growth does not adjust for any changes in product mix or for benefit design changes. Operating earnings were generally positive, with 6 out of the 10 plans reporting higher year-over-year second quarter earnings. For the universe, operating earnings grew by an average of 19% and in total by 9% to $8 billion. As we'll touch on later, premium growth coupled with relatively flat health benefit ratios and administrative expense ratios were primarily the reason for operating earnings growth. Medicaid plans' operating income totaled $597 million, an average increase of 27%, and a total growth of 35%. Commercial plans posted an increase of 16% on average and 7% in total to $7 billion. The average operating margin was slightly lower, falling by 0.2 percentage points to 4.7%. Both Medicaid and commercial plans dropped by 0.2 percentage points to 3.3% and 5.3%, respectively. The health benefit ratios for all plans remained unchanged at 84%. The average Medicaid plan experienced a 1 percentage point drop, however, to 84%. WellCare noted in its second quarter earnings release that it posted an improvement in health benefit ratio due to its Medicaid plan having, quote, improved pharmacy cost structure and operational improvements, close quote. Its Medicare plan experienced lower ratios due to its 2016 bid strategy and continued operational execution. Note that WellCare included revenue in the second quarter due to prior period underpayments from its Florida Medicaid plans. This was backed out of the second quarter and included in the prior quarters to which the revenue corresponded. The health benefit ratio for the average commercial plan increased by 1 percentage point to 84%. Commercial plans continue to report their struggles with membership on the ACA health insurance exchanges. Aetna is the most recent publicly traded company. They announced that it will reduce its participation on those exchanges. The company said that it will drop its participation from 778 counties in 2016 to 242 in 2017. Aetna stated that its losses for its exchange products will be in excess of $300 million this year. For those users of our publication Pulse, Sherlock Company's calculation of the health benefit ratios excludes the impact of favorable and unfavorable prior period reserve development. When they are announced, we move them from the reported expenses at that period and then allocate them to the quarters in which the actual expenses took place. The administrative expense ratio for all the plans was relatively unchanged at 11%. Medicaid plans posted an increase of 1 percentage point to 13%. Centene noted that its earnings release had a slight increase. In its earnings increase, it had a slight increase due to including the operations of HealthNet. Commercial plans experienced a slight decline of 0.3 percentage points to 10%. Aetna noted improvement to administrative ratio due to higher revenues and lower operating expenses on, quote, the execution of Aetna's expense management initiatives. Note that we excluded unusual and non-recurring merger-related expenses as applicable. Administrative expense management is a major issue for the publicly traded health plans, as it is for Blue Cross Blue Shield plans and independent provider-sponsored plans. Sherlock benchmarks published last month indicate negative to flat cost trends for these two universes. Non-operating income fell by an average of 37% and in total by 63% to $227 million. The average drop excludes changes from losses to gains and losses to larger losses. Our calculations of non-operating income equals investment earnings less interest expenses as well as income earned in non-health lines of business. Many plans have recognized higher interest expense due to debt issuances to fund acquisitions. Medicaid plans reported non-operating losses of $46 million versus a loss of $20 million in the comparable quarter last year. Commercial plans reported a decline from $640 million in non-operating earnings to $243 million in the current quarter. Accordingly, net earnings trends were mixed, with half the plans reporting year-over-year gains. For all plans, net earnings increased by an average of 37% and in total by 4% to $5 billion. This is skewed by Universal American, which posted an increase of 380% to net earnings due to the strong improvement in its operating and non-operating income. Excluding Universal American, the average rate of change falls to 2%, while growth in total is only 3%. Medicaid plans experienced net earnings growth by an average of 25% and in total by 35% to $251 million. Commercial plans reported average net earnings growth of 41% and in total of 2% to $4 billion. Again, excluding Universal American, net income growth for commercial plans would have fallen by an average of 15%, and total growth would have been 2%. During their second quarter earnings announcements, the management teams updated their guidance for the rest of 2016. Humana, Centene, WellCare increased their projected earnings per share, while Molina, Aetna, and Anthem reaffirmed their outlook. Cigna decreased its guidance due to its underperformance of its group disability and life business. Recall that we include this as Cigna's non-operating income for this analysis. UnitedHealth narrowed its earnings projection range, while SSS and Universal American refrained from offering any earnings expectations. We're in the process of polling the health plans, public and otherwise, for their premium rate increases for 2017, which will have a bearing on the 2017 results. We'll report those results to you during our next MCOL call. A short while ago, the Department of Justice sued to block both Anthem's acquisition of Cigna and Aetna's purchase of Humana. The Department of Justice stated that the proposed acquisitions put at risk the system that Americans rely on to pay for their health care, threatening to increase insurance premiums, reduce benefits, lower the quality of health care, and slow innovation. Both rulings are expected to come January of 2017. Information regarding a transcript of this podcast or the Sherlock benchmarks is available upon request. You can contact either MCOL or me directly. My email address is sherlock@sherlockco.com, and my phone number is 215-628-2289. This is Doug Sherlock of Sherlock Company.
Thanks, Doug. I understand there are a couple questions you'd like to ask. The first question is, to what do you attribute modest growth in administrative expenses?
Well, we suspect that the trends in public companies were very much the same as they were for the Blue Cross Blue Shield plans and the independent provider sponsored plans. In those universes, staffing ratios have fallen. Sales and marketing costs have increased only modestly, and the cost of corporate services activities like finance and accounting, corporate executive and governance, actuarial, and so forth were flat to down. While information systems costs tend to grow more rapidly, trends in medical management were highly specific to the plans and their product focus.
Great, thank you. The second question is, you mentioned that you're polling concerning premium trends. Do you have any expectations of the results?
At this point, I really don't know what to expect, especially since the individual market is in such turmoil. It turns out that individuals comprise about 25% of Blue Plan commercial insured membership and about 14% of independent provider sponsored plan membership. The point I'm trying to make here is that continued participation in various segments of the individual market is one of those factors that will affect overall trends in growth, and it looks like that participation is in flux. In any event, I look forward to sharing the results with the MCOL listenership in the next conference call.
Thank you. You've been listening to Doug Sherlock share his quarterly insights into the financial markets of health plans.